You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors on this final day of the trading week, and so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow, incorporating the weekly wrap as well, I might add. Nick Kunze is our guest presenter. He's from Sanlam Private Wealth, and our tame resident presenter and contributor, Greg Davies, the head of wealth at Kratos Capital, is also here. Nick, normally what you do is this on a Friday afternoon, so, oh, goodness me, I'm so glad I got through the week. But this week, not so bad.
Not so bad. Look, we did have a few little hiccups during the week, but I will say, in summary, it was a much better week. And I think you can see that just by some of the moves in the smaller caps and on our JSE, some of the volumes, the stronger Rand, well off the lows of almost 1550 at one stage a day or so ago. So it just feels like, yes, and I concur, it just feels like a little bit of a better finish to a week, which has been, and I guess it has been quite a tough month as well.
It's been a tough month, but some of the results that have come out and some of the trading updates, which we'll come to in a moment, have also been slightly more encouraging. Do you concur with Nick Kunze, Greg Davies?
Yes, a better day. And I mean, sometimes, you know, sort of bias of having such a good day today makes you forget about how difficult a month it was. I think there was an article on Bloomberg saying the worst August since 1998. And it felt like perhaps, I mean, I don't want to say window dressing happens, but certainly somebody got the checkbook out this afternoon, and some shares were definitely a lot higher than they were 2-3 days ago.
So even at month end, window dressing goes on, not just quarter end.
It feels like I think because it was such a bad month, everybody thought, "Oh, we can't send the statements to the clients looking like this."
You're not supposed to say that on air.
That's all right.
I'll delete that.
I'll edit it out later. No, I'll definitely edit it out. There's no way I'm going to leave that in.
Actually, my worst WhatsApp to get on the first of the month is, Digger, won't you send me a value of my account, please?
Oh, no. Look, it could have been 1.5% worse if you'd sent it on Thursday. So that's a little bit of a get out of jail free, I think.
Yes.
And you're right. It was one of the sort of websites reporting it would have been the worst month in 20 years, but down 4%. But after today, I think we're going to be down about 2.5%, which, funny enough, puts us in line with some of the offshore markets. I think NASDAQ down 3% as well, or down 2.5-3%. So puts us in line with global markets after today.
Let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service, if we can, and not start chronologically, in other words, at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock this morning. Let's look at something that came out at 12:30. It says the following, and follow me closely on this one. Discovery Limited trading update and voluntary trading statement year ended 30th of June 2019. Then you go to... You get up a little bit and it goes to 1332, Discovery Limited, cancellation of S419680 trading update and voluntary trading statement, year ended 30th of June 2019. Then 1 minute later at 1333, it says Discovery Limited, trading update and voluntary trading statement, year ended 30th of June 2019.
I think the first one had a typo in it, and I've seen it happen once or twice of late.
Yes.
Who's ever doing the proofreading on these things? Well, I suppose, you know, what often happens is it pops up on the SENS, all the brokers look at it, and they spot something which, you know, 1,000 pairs of eyeballs on the thing are going to pick up a mistake. They probably ring up the guys at Discovery and say, there's a comma in the wrong place here, let's get hold of the JSC and then do it over again.
Same one as it did the process
posted
as well, I think.
What type of broker is at 1:30 on a Friday afternoon looking at trading statements and commas, Greg? Come on now, you weren't there.
I actually was, because my lunch buddy is overseas in Greece, and I feel so strange to be sober on a Friday. I'm really out of sorts.
I was going to say, there's not even a filter on this call this time around.
For its 2019 financial year, Discovery planned to increase investment into strategic initiatives significantly, most notably the build and launch of Discovery Bank, creating an expected reduction in group earnings. This has necessitated a more detailed trading update for the year ended 30th of June. This is where I switch off, of course. But anyway, it goes on. And Nick Kunze, maybe you've gone through it as soberly as well. What did you make of it? Is the share price up nearly 7%?
Yeah, but you know what? The funny thing, Lindsay, it wasn't too much different to the recent trading update that caused a little bit of a shock. And I guess the way we indoctrinate with stocks at the moment is, you know, one bit of bad news is usually followed by another. And I think the fact that it was a bit like a sassel, you know, everyone's expecting more bad news to come out of it, and actually there wasn't. And in fact, it was quite thin on detail compared to the last trading statement. So I think it was a little bit of like the market pricing for a bit of Armageddon when it was down on 100 Rand, and, well, actually, quite frankly, it wasn't so bad, and you saw them bottom pick us up, but I really couldn't see too much different from last time around.
Greg, yeah, short covering, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's had an interesting trading range because it sort of had it's double bottom twice at about 100 Rand. But just talking to people there at number 135 Rivonia Road, kind of felt like they were just chomping on the bit to sort of correct the market's thinking about them. They do have results. I'm just looking here on Tuesday the 4th next week. Mm. And they obviously were in a closed period, and there was a little bit of negative, you know, a couple of analyst reports which were a little bit worrying. Obviously, we've had this NHI story running in the background. And I suppose they were so keen to get to their side of the story out. Difficult in a closed period. So getting this trading update out, getting the market ready. But I'm, you know, 115.17 close. It's a long way from 100 Rand. A lot of people have, you know, who've bought that dip have done nicely this week.
Greg, I have to pick you up on something there. It's good analysis, but it's champing at the bit, not chomping at the bit.
It's the second time you've caught.
And he hasn't even been at lunch.
Discovery is well positioned for growth through its robust established businesses, it says here. Emerging businesses which are scaling and expected to grow strongly going forward, and significant new initiatives which are being built. New business will require investment through their startup phase. However, the C20% spend on new business is expected to decrease over the next few years toward the long-term goal of 10% in earnings. Profit growth, just finally, is expected to return to its stated goal of CPI plus 10%, and the group is well capitalized for its five-year planning horizon. The marketing machine has gone into overdrive since the demise of the share price, and Nick Kunze, don't you think? I mean, this is good stuff, but it's saying everything's fine.
It is good stuff. Everything's fine, and once again, it's always the Adrian Gore show, talking up a good story. And look, it must be said, they have delivered over the years. The problem is the market is used to getting 30-40% return, and we're heading into a period where the stock has actually started, the returns are starting to slow down, and quite frankly, you know, of sort of PEs of 14 and 15 times forward, it's a lot cheaper than it used to be. But and I guess you saw people coming today buying it, but you know, still 28% down on year to date, and long term shareholders in Discovery are not used to seeing this. You know, it's been such a great stock for so many years, and yes, I guess wheeling out the marketing team today and talking it up a bit, and look, the market liked it. I guess you got to say the markets are fairly efficient, and I guess as Greg said, maybe a bit of short covering in there too.
Yes, indeed. So just give us the closing price on Discovery, Greg Davies, please.
Sure. So it finished the day up 6.6%, 115 Rand, 17. Value of trade, 447 million Rand. So just some good volume going through. Interesting, I'm just looking at the chart. Initially, when the SENS announcement came out, there was a little bit of a pullback to 109, and then sort of gave everybody whiplash and went up to 117, but closing in the middle of those two levels. And sort of closing on an uptick, really. So the buyers were continuing to come through.
Okay, let's have a look at another couple of announcements coming out of the stock exchange today. This morning, we had African Rainbow Minerals. I spoke to Greg about this morning, Nick. What do you make of African Rainbow Minerals? And we were sort of saying that when you think of the resources sector and the diversified miners, you don't, I mean, it's almost as though African Rainbow Minerals is at the bottom of the list. And is that justifiable?
No, quite frankly, I thought those numbers were absolutely outstanding. I mean, it's always deemed to be a bit of a small cap for some reason, and it's always under the radar a little bit. But I thought that compared to what we've been seeing coming out recently, quite why this is past people's radar, I don't know. Because I think they were really, really good. I mean, full half revenue, I was looking at them this morning, you know, 5% up to 9.5 billion. HEPS increased 9% to 5.2, and for those people not used to getting divvies in this zero interest rate environment offshore, I mean, a 9 Rand dividend declared on it really was an impressive set of numbers all around.
Yeah, so you'd be a buyer of this one, or you'd rather put it in your resources basket, would you?
Well, I think he's got to be a little bit careful. I mean, it's one of these cases where they've been exposed. Obviously, they're getting the majority of their income is derived from the iron ore price, and iron ore's been on such a tear up to a couple of weeks ago, and since then it has retraced for these trade wars. So the next set of results might not be as stellar as these, but their grade of iron ore is in huge demand, and they're very well respected offshore, and I do think it's one of these things you probably should have in your portfolio.
Greg, there are two stocks that also we have to mention, just because they came out with announcements today, but we don't normally look at them, and certainly you don't. Tower Property and also Baldwin. Can you give us the prices there?
Yeah, Tower Property, that finished at R5.60, up nearly 1%, up 5 cents. Quite a low volume trading stocks, as I was saying this morning. Don't see this code coming along the ticker that often. 34,000 shares traded. It's just under 200,000 Rand. Baldwin, kind of a bit more familiar with that. I've actually once bought a flat for them for an investment, kept it for 2 years and sold it at a small loss. But they develop these sort of three-story blocks of flats and then knock over a beautiful house in Bryanston and put up, you know, these good address small homes. The share price up 4%, closing at 280 Rand. It really hasn't, I suppose the timing couldn't have been really worse with the way that the property market is right now.
So let me just guess, you bought this one-bedroom flat for 680,000 and 2 years later you sold it for 640, right?
I bought it for 900 and sold it for 850. I was driving past the developments in Bryanston on a Saturday morning and I just thought, my wife was away in Cape Town, I thought, watch, I'm going to surprise you when you come back, I'll have bought it.
Nice surprise.
And then, when I got there, they gave me the story. There's only two left, and I said, I'll take one.
And you fell for that, yeah?
Is it 95% sold, as you see on the billboard outside? Yeah.
Only two left, yeah. I can see that now. Yeah. When you go onto booking.com, it says, this huge hotel, it says, only two rooms left. Meanwhile, we've got 1,500 rooms. Yeah, right.
Well, you fell for this.
I can't believe you.
Yeah. It's got its own sort of pizza restaurants. Mm. It's Wi-Fi. It's got a gym. For a gangster, it's perfect.
Because pizza restaurants are so scarce in Johannesburg.
No, but I mean, it's indoors. You could take a walk there. You know, it's at the sort of clubhouse.
Sounds wonderful.
Most pizza restaurants are indoors, Greg.
Do you know what I mean inside the?
No, I don't know
property.
What you mean. Sorry, I have to stop now. Let's get on with this. So Baldwin, just recap what Baldwin did today.
Yeah, share price up 4% to R2.80.
Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices now, if we can, gentlemen. The dollar rand is 15.20, the British pound against the rand, 18.51, the euro rand is 16.72, and the euro dollar is, oh, goodness me, look at this thing, 0.5% move on the euro dollar exchange rate, exactly 1.10. That is 0.5% move for the dollar to the upside, the euro to the downside. Thank you, Boris Johnson. And if we go down now to the effect that the strong dollar has had on the gold price, not much, actually. In fact, it's surprisingly robust. It's up a couple of dollars to 15.29. The platinum price is 9.36, which in the last 24 hours is a $20 move or 2.1%. Greg Davies, palladium, please.
Yeah, palladium also on fire, up $65, 15.41.
Yeah, you know, Jens, can I just inject there? The only thing that is taking a bit of a smack off this dollar is actually the oil price. I see the Brent crude futures almost down, almost 3.8% down, which is quite a big shunt for the last day of the month.
Yeah, I've got my nearby futures at 59.28 down just under 3%. But that's very strange because you've got two metals which are both industrial, yeah. i.e. palladium and platinum, and yet the oil price, which is obviously an industrial commodity, linked to the global GDP growth, it's going in the opposite direction. That's strange, Nick.
Very much so. And if you actually look at a couple of the correlations over the last week, so, you know, one of the proxies for risk at the moment, obviously with these trade wars, has been the Chinese renminbi, which hit 11-year low this week. Also, Japanese yen also looked at a lot as a proxy for risk. So you've had a stronger yen all day today. You've had an equity prices, you know, a little bit of window dressing, I guess, but sitting near the highs of the day. Gold price, as you pointed out, kind of not getting sold off of the strong dollar. So a lot of the traditional correlations that we look at as traders is literally out of whack today. It's a very strange sort of day. Mm. And I must point out, Labor Day on Monday, maybe a bit of people squaring up before the holiday on Monday. Those Chinese tariffs are due to kick in sometime this weekend, unless there's some bit of a a love and a makeup between Trump and the Chinese. But those tariffs are due to kick in before Monday, so maybe a bit of squaring up before the weekend.
Greg, talking about these squaring up, what are the Dow Jones, S&P and NASDAQ doing at the moment?
Yeah, the Dow, it's been most of the day looking at the futures and showing 150, 160 positive. And it started that way, but I see in the last half an hour, so Dow down around about 50 points at the moment. So I think maybe Mr. Trump is pulling his phone a little bit close to everyone. It is that type of market where we love today. It was lovely to see all this green and all these stocks going higher, but you just wonder how long it can last. The NASDAQ down about 48 points.
Quite a reversal since we've been on the phone, actually.
Yeah. We've talked it backwards, yeah.
I think that what we're going to see tonight is what they call a key reversal, because as you say, Greg, it was 150 up at one stage after two or three days of really, really good, strong performances. And the buying has just dried up. And I think we're going to get a technical short-term key reversal. And I think that Labor Day, the day after Labor Day, we may come into something that's a little bit unpleasant. But anyway, let's hope not.
Well, traditionally, Lindsay, September, everyone thinks October is the month of crashes.
Yes.
Traditionally, September is actually a much worse month performance-wise, which obviously starts on Monday. So you might be right. There's a few things lining up for maybe a little bit of a rough few days ahead of us.
I can feel
it. US fund managers getting back from their breaks and having a look at their portfolios and going, oh, we've got to do some changes here. But yes. I think August is traditionally quite volatile, really.
People very much so.
Instant
markets.
Greg, your favorite thing, most viewed shares, please.
Yeah, so you can almost play yesterday's recording, really. Steinhoff closed at 1.20, got most of the views. Sabania had a nice fight back. It was down in the low 20s, finished the day at 20.87, still down 3.3%, but I think probably getting some support from the Palladium PGM sort of group. Aveng finished at 2 cents, most viewed there by 11% of the viewers. And then Sasol got 10% of the views, finished up nearly 2%, 287.95. You actually can't find a Sasol bull anywhere, but the share price keeps going up.
Yes, maybe if the foreigner's having a look at it. Okay, top five major moves to the upside. Dis-Chem. Oh, dear. Where did this come from?
It's your short, yeah.
Thanks for reminding me. It's just window dressing. Up nearly 9%. Imperial up 8.25%. That's a massive move as well.
Massive.
Yeah, this is definitely end of month stuff here.
Week.
Discovery up
6.25%. And let me tell you, I went. Sorry, gents. I actually went to that Imperial logistics presentation. And, I mean, it was bad. It really was nothing good to take out of it at all. I mean, I struggled. I liked the business, and I was trying to find some sort of good news out of what they're moving in Germany. They move a lot on the waterways there, a lot of sort of a different way of looking at logistics. But there was nothing good out of it. And yet, as we see today, another 8%.
The numbers, it was up, I think, 10% the day of the results. Another 8% today. You can tell which ones I'm short. But I'm digging my heels in there. I'm backing down at 8% moves.
I had a boss I used to work with. He used to say, keep selling till you win, Greg.
Okay. I'm running out of firepower here.
I think he's out of a job now, actually.
have you two
you'll
finished?
Pull up at the red lights and you'll see him there.
No, we finished.
Have you two quite finished? Thank you very much. Okay, RMI up 5.33%. Libhold up 5%. On the downside, Sabania down 3.33%. CAP 1.7%. AB InBev down 3/4. And Adcock down 0.5%. Let's end this extraordinary week and end the month with the closing JSE indices, please.
Right. The banks up 3.63. Wow, that's huge. Financials up 2.65. Industrials up 2%. That was without much help from Nasdaq, which was a little bit flat in the afternoon. Retailers up 2%. Gold index down 0.2, so it rallied from the worst levels. Platinums continue their charge up 2.6 on that platinum and palladium prices, 1.4 up on the resources. That leaves the all share up 1.56. Feels like forever before we've seen a day like this. 848 points better, 55,260 on the all share. Volume of just north of 21 billion.
Very good indeed. A nice end to the month, a nice end to the week, and a great chat. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Nick Kunzer is from Sanlam Private Wealth. Greg Davies, of course, our tame commentator, the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.